Hi, this is Kevin Connolly from the hit TV show Entourage. And when I'm in the tri-state area, I listen to EmpireBroadcastingGroup.com.
Empire Broadcasting presents The Professionals Roundtable with Muriel Donnelly, 9 to 2 p.m. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable, 9 to 2 p.m. exclusively on Empire Broadcasting.
Good afternoon and welcome to Empire Broadcasting. I'm your host, Muriel Donnelly. And this afternoon, we have a wonderful returning guest on our show. She is the owner at a unique therapy center from Boca Raton, Florida. Please welcome back to our show, Dr. Martha Latz. Good afternoon and welcome back to the show, Dr. Latz. How are you this afternoon?
Oh, I am just wonderful. And yourself, Muriel?
Very good. Thank you. Very good indeed. Well, we missed you on the show last week, but we're glad to have you back today. And so I'm going to start off by asking you, what's the weather like where you are right now, Dr. Latz?
It is sunny at about 84, 85.
Oh my gosh. I'm just thinking and I'm like, oh my God, that sounds beautiful. I'm not going to complain about the weather that we have right now because, you know, it's not too bad. It's 57 and it's sunny and it looks pretty. That, and it's amazing how every time I see, you know, I look out the window and the weather is nice, it just makes me feel so good. I don't know what it is, but I just love sunshine.
Sunshine makes you happy. Wasn't that a song? Sunshine makes you happy or makes me happy?
I don't know, but there should be many songs about it. But the reason I mentioned that, you know, is one of the things that I, and this is kind of crazy, but I find that when the weather is good, or when I feel good, etc., like I'm feeling physically healthy, I think this is most people, I'm much more bearable, you know? And so that's one of the topics we're going to talk about today is about nagging and how it doesn't work. And so I want to talk about that and ask you to expand on that a little bit more. And maybe we could start off by talking about nagging. And I have to say, I mean, stop me if I'm wrong, but some people's version of nagging is not the same as the person is actually nagging, right?
Yes.
And then maybe we'll talk about the different scenarios of nagging, whether it's at work, whether it's at home with relationship, whether it's with family, etc. So first of all, what is the definition of nagging? What do people consider to be nagging?
Oh, well, there's a lot of related terms that go into nagging. It's like fault fighting, continually complaining, criticism, mm-hmm. coaxing, being cynical, demanding. You can do hair splitting. You know, you get down there and hair split the details or hair split the words that are being used. It goes on and on. There's quite a few, but those are like being petty and quibbling over, you know, should we go left or should we go right type of thing. And if you go down the middle, you'll both get there at the same time and in the same fashion. You know, and it's often relentless. You know, you're constantly relenting on something. Something will bring you back to what you're not happy about. You know,
right?
So it's a vicious cycle. It's really such a vicious cycle. Your mate, your spouse, or your partner, who you're in a relationship, or your coworkers are with, you know, avoid you, mm-hmm. and withdraw not only mentally but emotionally and physically.
Right.
And then that starts the cycle. The more and more you nag because you feel them withdrawing.
Right. Right. And this is the crazy thing is like, you know, they always tell you that, you know, there are certain things that you have to just nip in the bud. And I feel like this is one of those things is nagging because it's and nagging is also something, it's almost like a bad habit that you kind of develop. And if it doesn't get stopped immediately, it's something that's continuous. But what the problem with nagging is that most of the time, the person that's nagging tends to be somebody who is an authoritative figure. Does that make sense? You don't find children nagging, right? it's always someone with authority.
Yes, it's usually one in authority, but children kind of nag, too. They kind of keep reminding you, this is what I want for my birthday. This is what I want for my birthday. But not in the same way as someone who is in authority. Whether it is your spouse or the person you're in relationship with, or coworkers, the one above you, beside you, or your boss at work, what you might be talking about may be valid, okay? And they may be really valid gripes, but that will make your coworkers, your boss, your spouse, your person you're in relationship, family members, very resentful, and also add to them being defensive.
Right.
And when you nag, whether it's to your boss, you put them in, or to your spouse, or anyone else, you put them instantly in the child role, being the child in the relationship or the interaction.
Right. And this is the thing, you see, and this is what happens. And I don't mean to sound sexist, because I'm not, but normally when you think of the word nagging, it's, the word nagging itself tends to normally people, put that next to a woman, right? It's normally they tend to find that a woman nags, and it's kind of crazy, because when I think of nagging, I'm always like envisioning my mother telling me to do something over and over and over and over again. Clean your room up. And that's what I remember as nagging. And it's kind of crazy, because it's a cycle that, like, now I can hear myself, and I can hear myself saying something like, Oliver, did you clean your room up? Oliver, did you clean your room up? Oliver. And that's what it comes down to. But it's funny, because you don't always know you're doing it, or sometimes you catch yourself and you're like, oh my God, I'm nagging. But is there anything we could actually do to stop ourselves from nagging? I mean, is there anything that, a switch that we can just stop ourselves before we actually begin nagging?
Well, one of the first things you can do is do feelings. Share that your feeling with the person who you want to make a point with.
Right.
So that you don't go into a nagging. You stick to one issue. Don't bring in all the other gripes or all the other issues. Stick to the issue you want at hand. Oliver, it makes me feel so great when I see you have cleaned your room. Something like that. Keep your statements brief.
Positive. Right.
brief. No long lectures or compound complex sentences with them. And, the other thing is, it's ultimatums. Once you start the down the road of the ultimatum, if I don't get that desk by the window, I'm not coming into work tomorrow.
Right.
That sort of thing. let's see. And that's, you might, when you use the word you in that situation, you might want to put it, would you, will you, rather than could you or can you. Because it gives the person that you're talking to a way to participate in the dialogue and in what you're trying to say. There's a subtle difference by the way we make requests and what will be heard by bosses, coworkers, friends, family members, our spouse, or our partner. And you can set the example. If you want Oliver to clean his room, set the example. Put your clothes away or hang them up or take the dirty ones to the hamper, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And it's crazy because, I feel like I know how the kids feel because I was there, because I'd be like, no kid is clean. It's not normal, It's you come home, you want to do things like that. But as you say, nagging is a funny thing, and it's funny because I always think of the word nagging, and I think of like a woman that's constantly nagging, and it's very sad that we associate it's very sad that I associate that word with a woman, but I do. I always associate the word with a woman, and it's kind of like crazy. But I like the fact that you're saying like keep it short and sweet and to the point, as opposed to making it long-winded, because just saying more than a few words is really what nagging is. It's like that ongoing stuff, right?
Right, and when you continue to do that, the people stop listening to you. Where you want to make your point, or where you want to discuss an issue, or make a suggestion, you know, the eyes glaze over, and you, they're gone. they just leave it. I remember just a story back when I was writing my dissertation, and I would be talking the dissertation over and over again to anybody that would listen. And my chair said to me, he said, "You know, Martha, it's great that you want to talk it, but you know, you're over talking it. And you're repeating yourself and saying the same thing over and over again." And I said, "But Lee, every time I say something, I learn something or something comes to me." And he said, "Watch the body language. If they lean back in their chair, if they close their eyes, if they look like their eyes are glazing over, it's time to stop."
Right.
So it happens all the time and at all different levels. But that really, really stuck with me. And so, you know, that was a point. And when I'm dealing, when people come to me and we talk about it, and, you know, the husband will say that she nags, or the woman will say he nags.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it's a subtle difference, but it's that language that got in the common core of our conversations, associating nagging with woman, instead of that it's just gender neutral, actually, because both genders
right.
do it.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I have to say, in this household, it's generally me. I'll take responsibility. I'm open. Craig, if you hear me, I do more nagging than you do. I want to take a very, very quick commercial break before we go any further. But for all our listeners out there, just to remind you that our wonderful guest this afternoon is Dr. Martha Latz, and she is the owner at a unique therapy center from Boca Raton, Florida. Please go visit the website, which is unique therapy center.com. So again, please go visit the website, which is unique therapy center.com. Stay tuned. We'll be back shortly.
Hi, this is Terry Crews, actor, former football player, game show host, father of five, and all-around big dude. I'm also an expert on drama. I know all kinds of drama. There's the good kind that comes with having a house full of kids. There's the bad kind, like season-ending injuries. There's the necessary kind, like having an agent in Hollywood. And there's silly drama, like the drama around my percolating pectorals. And then there's the drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your high school diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org.
Or text DIPLOMA to 97779. Message and data rates may apply. Reply STOP to opt out. That's DIPLOMA to 97779. And leave the drama to actors like me.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Would you like to get your business on the air? Do you have a product or service to sell? Then let us help you promote your business locally and nationally. Go to EmpireRadioNow.com. Send an email to info@EmpireRadioNow.com or call us at 1-800-936-1873 to become tomorrow's superstars.
Empire Broadcasting presents the Professionals Roundtable with Muriel Donnelly, 9 to 2 p.m. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable, 9 to 2 p.m. exclusively on Empire Broadcasting.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Empire Broadcasting. I'm your host, Muriel Donnelly, and our wonderful returning guest today is the owner at a unique therapy center from Boca Raton, Florida. Please welcome back to our show, Dr. Martha Latz. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Latz. Now, before we went on our break there, we were talking about nagging and basically, you know, you were explaining to us ways that we should try and avoid nagging, you know, the words that we basically use, and also how much we speak, because that's half the problem. I think with me, half the time is that once I start talking, I just don't stop. So I can just keep going and going for ages. And obviously that's going to be an issue for everyone. And, you know, especially the kids are going to be like, now you also made a comment that it's, you know, nagging is basically men and women both nag. Just very quickly, do you think there's any particular reason why, and I'm not saying everyone, but certain individuals like myself, why we consider nagging to be more of a female thing than a male thing?
I think it was associated with how it was ever translated or how it was ever brought to the English language. You know, nag, you think of a nag, you think of a horse, you think of a female horse. It's just one of those things. Like when you hear the word bully, the male comes to mind more so than the female. It's just within our, you know, So it's sort of like it's just these words that have just reached our common day conversations, and then when you hear them or you read them, the image, which is how we translate everything anyway, appears as female for nag and male for bully. Just like some diseases that could get more specific for a particular gender, cancer for women, heart issues for men. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what, you know, you hear it, you read it, and that's what comes to mind. Does that kind of make sense?
Absolutely. It makes absolute sense, because exactly as you were saying it, because like when you think of the word, like if I think of the word bully growing up as a child, etc., I always put that into like it was a male thing. It was like it would always be like a boy who was a bully. It would never be a girl. So you're absolutely right how we grow up and that's what we associate. So for me, as you so rightly said, I grew up always assuming that a nag would be like a female thing and a bully was a male thing. And, you know, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, but it makes perfect sense. Now just moving forward, talking about something else for a minute here. I want to talk very quickly about, the three things to make a good relationship. And I want to get my pen and paper out and write this down for everyone out there. What are the three? I've got a great relationship, but I mean, I'm just saying, it's like, I think it's always good to know, you know, because you never know that one day that he's going to do something that I don't like. And I'm like, oh, so.
Yes, yes. But I think even though you have a good relationship, it's always to keep these things in the back of your mind, or, you know, in your computer bank, in your brain, to boot them back up, because we can all get kind of lackadaisical in our relationship or take it for granted. So, yeah, there's, and when you start slipping, it's just like a snowball, and then the relationship, or, you know, the working relationship goes lukewarm. So get ready, okay? The first thing is appreciation. Mm-hmm. Whether you're male or female, both sexes benefit for getting a pat on the back or early adoration or love talk from your spouse. You'll rock yourself. You'll rock the world, because that's really great. You can appreciate that. You take a step back and say thank you, and don't take things for granted. Because if you do, what happens is the appreciation that you're trying to show, or that the person is waiting for, just goes right out the window.
Right.
Is that clear?
Absolutely. And I think that's such a wonderful thing, because there are so many times that it's one of those things that it's something that we feel, but we don't say it. And you know what? I feel everyone needs to hear it. Everyone needs to hear that they're appreciated. It really makes a big difference. And I think it's a word that, especially when you're very comfortable, etc., you think it doesn't need to be said.
Correct. But, you know, try a little experiment. When please and thank you come back into any conversation, you know, the conversation moves forward and usually has a positive outcome. You know,
right.
Please, would you close the door? Mm-hmm. And then after it's closed, thank you so much. I did appreciate that. You could even use that word. So it just expands that just a little bit more. The other thing is attention. Paying attention to each other. Like in a romantic relationship, you did that when you were courting. You know, you paid attention to every detail. what was worn, what was said, where you went, attention to events. Because when you're absent from an event, that is kind of very sad, you know. A little gestures that you can show, you know, as you walk by a coworker, one of the social experiments was, you know, if you toss them something, so you might toss them a bag of peanuts, assuming that they're not allergic, or you might, toss them a thought for the day. You know, here's a thought for the day. Something to show that they're being noticed and they're being paid attention to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the other thing, and the next thing is your appearance. Remember how much care we went into when we would go on a date, or when we go for a job interview, or even when we go to work. You put a lot of effort, and that's usually relationships. Mm-hmm. But that should be something of interest. That you do that will continue to catch either coworkers' interest or your spouse's interest. And, the other thing is that men can't get off the hook. you know, while visualization is more of a is more male, you know, it's important to us as women. You know, no one wants to have a partner who is in, you know, stained clothes or wrinkly clothes, or, you know, have, pardon me, this is very gender specific, unattended nose hair or ear hair, you know, that sort of thing. Updating your wardrobe on occasion, you know, keeping your appearance, also your physical appearance, you know, no, for men, no overhanging beer guts is very helpful. Also for women, no muffin tops, you know, so that will also...
you said muffin top. You go, Dr.
No muffin tops. We don't want muffin tops. And that, you know, and that's an effort that we all try to work at, you know. So, and you know, you can encourage each other by your appearance, by being appreciative. That works into appearance. Paying attention, that works into appearance. Appearance works backwards. It works into attention and to appreciation. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes complete, utter sense, because I completely agree with you 110%. I'm just, you know, I just like to, I think growing up in England, you know, the European thing is, for the majority, is that you always look good wherever you go. Just because, you know, it's like, it's just one of those things. You always look good. You know, God forbid you get run over. You want to make sure you look good when you get run over and get taken to the hospital, you know?
Yes.
But
yes.
we always try and you know, it was one of those things. And I agree with you. I think that, you know, when you take care of yourself, your appearance, it's also a reflection on what you think of the other people around you, because if you respect, I feel like, yourself and those around you, you want them to look at you in your best possible light.
That's true. That's true. I think that we all want real recognition for the effort that we put in to looking as good as possible, no matter what we do. And that means, you know, for me personally, not going out without at least lipstick and mascara on.
Right.
I mean, you know, whether, you know, whatever, or when I, you know, when I look at, you know, my husband, to know that, you know, all he's groomed, his hair is groomed, he's got a beard, and his beard is groomed. So, you know, it's just pride, and it's a good kind of pride.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. I agree 110%. We actually, unfortunately, have come to the end of our show for this afternoon. But just to remind you, everyone, that our wonderful guest this afternoon has been Dr. Martha Latz, and she is the owner of a unique therapy center from Boca Raton, Florida. Please go visit her website, which is www.auniquetherapycenter.com. Again, auniquetherapycenter.com. You can also email her at lats2000@aol.com, or alternatively give her a call. The phone number is 561-300-4066. Again, thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Latz. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always.
Oh, thank you for having me on the show. You're welcome, and thank you for having me on the show. And till next time.
Absolutely.
Empire Broadcasting presents the Professionals Roundtable with Muriel Donnelly, 9 to 2 p.m. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable, 9 to 2 p.m. exclusively on Empire Broadcasting.
Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your fly. Socks go in first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops. The rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.